This is Puska Media Services, a communication, production, and web content business for sports teams and leagues. For more, log on to www.puskaonpucks.com.
The following is a presentation of Puska Media Services. Welcome to Puska on Pucks Radio, an inside look at the game of hockey, from professional to junior level to the leagues overseas. We have the coolest game on ice covered. Now, here is your host, Dennis J. Puska.
Welcome to an all-new episode of your passion for the game of hockey. This is Puska on Pucks Radio, episode number 16. It's great to have you alongside. My name is Dennis J. Puska. If you're looking for a consistent professional voice and look at all things in our sport, you've certainly found the right place. We have an extended interview with a couple of co-authors on a new book we'll tell you about in a sec. But first, a look at some of the headlines of stories you've been talking about on social media at the local hockey rinks and water coolers, and they include a wild, lopsided night in the American Hockey League that featured two in-state rivals, record-setting in Glens Falls, New York. An update on a story we brought you first regarding a Southern Professional Hockey League player who received a nasty skate laceration and his return to action. A former National Hockey League player is found dead up in Canada, and USA wins its second World Sled Hockey Challenge, and we celebrate the anniversary of a big group up in Duluth, Minnesota, that's growing the sport of girls hockey. And as we promised in our interview spotlight, David Pateson and Craig Mers have co-authored a book called The Chill Factor on the former ECHL franchise, the Columbus Chill, and how they have paved the way to the arrival of the National Hockey League. Pateson and Mers join us to talk about putting together this book and some fun facts surrounding it. It's all ahead on our program. We're happy you are with us. And when we return, I'll look at all the latest hockey headlines on Ice Chips. Please stand by. This Puska Media Services program is brought to you by TST Media. Let TST Media Sport Engine Software take your team, league, or business to the next level with an award-winning website. For further information, it's tstmedia.com. By the Indoor Football League, welcoming Wichita Falls, Texas, Billings, Montana, and Des Moines, Iowa, and the iconic Iowa Barnstormers franchise in 2015. Listen to This Week in the IFL at goifl.com. And by Puska Media Services, the home of great online programming. To have an online show built specifically for your team or league, call 216-798-1197. Or for further information, visit PuskaMediaServices.com. Puska Media Services invites all of our fans of Puska on Fox Radio or This Week in the IFL to enter and win a book called It's Our Game, Celebrating 100 Years of Hockey Canada by author Michael McKinley. This coffee table book talks about the rich history of the game of hockey. Entering is easy. Just like either our Facebook pages, This Week in the IFL, or Puska on Pucks Radio. Then send us a message to our inbox with your name, address, and phone number. It's that easy. The winner will be announced in March. It's Our Game, celebrating 100 years of Hockey Canada. Win this collector's book now through This Week in the IFL or Puska on Pucks Radio Facebook pages. Puska Media Services, bringing you the best in online minor league sports programming. And welcome back. Friends, don't forget you still have time to register to win a free copy of the book, It's Our Game, Celebrating 100 Years of Hockey Canada, written by Michael McKinley. Simply head over to our Facebook page site and repost the story or like our page, and then send us an inbox message with your name, address, phone number, contact information, and we'll get you registered. We will make the draw for that book next month. Now it's time to check all the latest headlines in our sport with Ice Chips. News and notes presented by TST Media. Let TST Media and their sport engine software take your team and league to the next level with an award-winning website. For further information, it's tstmedia.com, proud partners of Puska Media Services. We start off with a story we had several months ago that we reported first about a Southern Professional Hockey League player who had that nasty skate laceration. Justin Cedar gained closure while the Peoria Rivermen closed out Huntsville Havoc in routine fashion. The Rivermen dispatched a 5-1 Huntsville Havoc team 4-1 in a game that was never really close in front of over 30,000 fans. Cedar suffered a gruesome leg gash in October 25th game at Carver Arena and was hospitalized while the game was suspended. He was in the starting lineup in his return to Peoria on Friday and drew a nice ovation from the Rivermen crowd. "I'm past it, it's over, and I'm okay and recovered," Cedar said. "It was great to hear those fans cheering and hear the announcement praising the medical responders for their efforts. That night, I was out there banging my stick on the ice, thanking them all. It was an emotional thing for me. Then we got down to playing the game that turned into a lot of emotional moments for both sides. That's what makes a sport so great." And it was a historic night at the Glens Falls Civic Center on Tuesday night when the Adirondack Flames defeated the Syracuse Crunch 10-0. It was the first AHL team to score 10-plus in a shootout since Worcester defeated Providence 11-0 on November 30th, 2002. Most goals from a Glens Falls AHL team in nearly 22 years. It was also the first AHL team to win a game by a double-digit margin since Hamilton beat Cleveland 15-1 in 2002. Other records broken, most goals in a game by an AHL team this season, most goals in a game in franchise history by the Adirondack Flames, most individual points in an AHL game this season, and the largest winning margin in an AHL game this season. All pretty amazing numbers in an Adirondack Flames victory. Now some sad news to report from the world of hockey. Former National Hockey League defenseman Steve Montador has died at the age of 35. Montador was found unconscious in his home in Mississauga, Ontario, Canada, early Sunday morning and was later pronounced dead according to the Peel Region Police. While no cause of death was known, police said no foul play was suspected. It's unclear when an autopsy will be completed. NHLPA Executive Director Donald Fear released a statement on Sunday about the passing of Monitor. "We are deeply saddened to learn the sudden death of Steve Monitor. Steve was a great person who quickly became a friend of everyone he came to know in the game, teammates, NHL club staff, and the media and fans. Monitor, a native of Vancouver, British Columbia, was plagued by concussions throughout his hockey career and said in 2013 he battled depression. Meantime, Josh Pauls from Green Book, New Jersey, scored 19 seconds into overtime, and the U.S. national sled hockey team defeated Russia 2-1 to win the 2015 World Sled Hockey Challenge for the second time in 3 years in Leduc, Alberta. "It's always fun to win," said Jeff Sauer, head coach of the U.S. national sled hockey team. "With this being only our fifth game of the season, it's great for our young players to defeat a team like Russia in a meaningful game like this." Both teams exchanged early chances in the opening period. Team USA really got rolling early to take a 1-0 to play hard, but then The Russians broke the scoreless streak of Steve Cash from Overland, Missouri. Steve Cash's shutout string ended at 101 minutes and 42 seconds when that came to an end. And just 19 seconds in overtime, Brody Roybal of Northlake, Illinois, entered the Russia zone and dropped the puck back to Pauls, who beat Russia's goalie with a wrist shot to give the United States the victory. This was the second consecutive international hockey tournament that featured the USA and Russia in the championship game. The USA defeated Russia 1-0 to win the gold medal at the 2014 Paralympics Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia. The U.S. national sled hockey team be off until it resumes its series with Canada March 24th to 29th. And congratulations to the St. Luke's Icebreakers on the 20th anniversary of their Icebreaker Invitational All-Girls Tournament. The Icebreakers, located in Duluth, Minnesota, are a citywide team that encourage all girls to come out and play with them. Many girls' associations around the country have learned about the Icebreakers through their annual St. Luke's Icebreaker Invitational. The Icebreakers recently hosted the 20th annual Invitational, which coincided with the 20th anniversary of the association's founding. We've had as many as over 100 teams, 1,800 players, President Charity Rupp said. This year we've had 68 teams, 1,200 players. The game is the largest of its second largest all-girls tournament in the United States. The tournament is so popular that there are waiting lists, but there's more to the tournament than teams playing games. Rupp said they've had seminars involving topics of healthy eating, also have a great relationship with the University of Minnesota Duluth. Over the past couple of years, they've offered free tickets to the weekend games on our tournament weekend. Their players are on the ice for autograph signings as well. That's Ice Chips, news and notes presented by TST Media. Let TST Media and their Sport Engine software take your team league to the next level with an award-winning website. For further information, tstmedia.com, proud partners of Puska Media Services. Well, friends, we're going to pause for a quick break. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, Chill Factor, a brand new book looking at the former Columbus Chill of the ECHL. Dave Pateson and Craig Mers join us right after this. This is Puska on Pucks Radio. Hard-hitting excitement, family affordable entertainment. That's the Indoor Football League. The 2015 season is here. Which one of the 10 teams will hoist the United Bowl Championship this summer? The Indoor Football League teams not only give back to the communities they are part of, but moving players on to the next level, whether the AFL, the CFL, or the National Football League. Follow all the IFL action every week on pay-per-view, courtesy of America One. Keep track of all the scores live as they happen, courtesy of Presto Sports at GoIFL.com. America's premier indoor football league is the Indoor Football League, celebrating 6 years as proud partners of Puska Media Services. And welcome back. Be sure to take Puska on Pucks Radio this week in the IFL with you by downloading the Podomatic app, now available on your App Store or through Google Play. And you can listen to This Week in the IFL, Puska on Pucks Radio, on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. Just keyword search in Puska on Pucks Radio or This Week in the IFL, and the episodes will populate, and you can listen to it at any time. Also put in keywords pop radio. That is Puska on Pucks Radio and This Week in the IFL. Get the app today. A reminder, friends, coming up in the weeks ahead of our program, we're going to look in on the make and mayhem of the Southern Professional Hockey League as they get ready for their launch in the 2015-16 season in the Southern Professional Hockey League. Hockey returning to Macon, Georgia. We'll have a special report on that coming up in the weeks ahead. And as well, on the road with Puska on Pucks Radio returns in a few weeks. We'll be on location from the great state of Washington and the Pacific Northwest as the Emerald Bulls take on the Wenatchee Wild in North American Hockey League action. Puska on Pucks Radio will be there to look at the state of hockey in the Pacific Northwest and Seattle's opportunity to get a National Hockey League franchise. We'll also look at the Wenatchee Wild located in Wenatchee, Washington. For further details on what we're working on, visit our website at puskaonpucks.com. The city of Columbus, Ohio has always struggled to support any professional sports franchise. It's a town where Ohio State University reigns supreme and everything else is less important. That was until 1991 when the Columbus Chill, a minor league hockey franchise, arrived. Using beacon marketing tactics and on-ice shenanigans, the Chill became the talk of the city and gained a religious local call with a fan base. Based on the success of the Chill from 1991 to 1999, the city of Columbus was awarded the Columbus Blue Jackets in 2000 in the National Hockey League, the team's own NHL franchise. The Chill book is now going to be out on hardcover coming up in March, and an opportunity for friends can also buy it for their Kindle device as well. We had a chance to catch up with the authors of Chill Factor, how a minor league hockey team changed a city forever. Here are authors David Pateson and Craig Mers to talk more about putting this book together, some memories of the Columbus Chill and the ECHL and how they started galvanizing a city and get them ready for the National Hockey League. Gentlemen, as I bring you in, thank you for taking time to join us.
Thank you very much for having us. Yeah, thank you very much.
So, gentlemen, I'm going to start with this. What did the idea come out first to write this book?
Well, this is David. I'll start, I guess. It really dates back to just about 5 years ago, a little over 5 years ago, actually. I had been going through some old files and came across a booklet that a PR person I'd asked to put together as a franchise wrapped up with all the stories, which mostly included writings by Craig and among other things that kind of was we wanted to put together and have as a historical account for some media folks and staff and so on. So the pages through it really started to remind me of a lot of things, and I always had this thought of maybe putting it down on paper one day, but it really just kind of caught my eye and maybe redoing that. And then I picked up the phone after kind of sketching out some ideas. I picked up the phone another day later and called Craig and said, "Hey, you want to do lunch?" And we just started chatting about it, and then away we went.
Yeah, I think the fact that they paid for the lunch, that probably convinced me to write the book.
That was definitely it, right?
That's right.
Minor league hockey in those days, gentlemen, had a rise and fall of a lot of different franchises. It was almost at times, the best of times and the worst of times for minor league hockey. Did you guys find that out kind of writing your book and so many wonderful ideas and promotions and just through all the tough times and all that as well?
Well, you know, you don't know that, David. Trust. You don't really know what you're getting into until you're into it a lot of times. And I think Craig can tell you a lot more about the history of Columbus, and Columbus hockey than I can. But, you know, we were just hoping to call in and initially, not fall on our face and be one of those teams that can kind of break through. And but, you know, we tried a lot of different things. We were very proactive, even went a step further and how aggressive we were going to be on our marketing the promotions, because we kind of saw what the size of a Ohio State fan following was almost intimidating, and so we decided to come out and kind of hit people between the eyes with a few things, and we got their attention and really they had a chance to really break that stranglehold and be really one of those first professional teams that could kind of coexist along with Ohio State in the market and prove that hockey could work.
The Chill came in 1991, and the East Coast Hockey League was just really starting to bloom back then. I think the year before, Cincinnati had come to the league, the Cyclones, and they had a great success. And so suddenly they added Columbus, they added Toledo, they had Dayton, all within the easy drive of Columbus. So it was the right time for the city of Columbus to get another hockey team. The last team they had was in 1997, the Owls, the IHL. So they were 14 years without minor league hockey, so it was the perfect time for Columbus to get back into the pro hockey scene.
One of the things about Columbus is that you guys are seen almost maybe as earlier as being jet setters, because of course the Columbus because Columbus came in, and of course the Blue Jackets arrived in the National Hockey League. Do you think you guys in some sense paved the way for the start of the Blue Jackets and really for the evolution and the arrival of the National Hockey League?
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways, and Craig, please add to this. And I don't think there's any question. First, I think the team, because we did grab a hold of attention, and Craig can expand on that, I think it kind of was an inspiration that things could happen, and they really started catching the attention of folks. And secondly, because it broke that stranglehold, again, it was a little bit more proof that something can work alongside of Ohio State. And then we had really a scheduling incident that happened after we had all the success in the first year, the scheduling incident happened between the first and second year that almost cost us our second season and a number of dates, and really would have put us behind the eight ball ever succeeding. And that ended up incorporating, we sent our fans kind of on an all-out assault to call everybody, call the paper, call the TV stations, call the city hall, mayor's office, whatever. And that really triggered the first major domino that
that got the ball rolling, but it was funny from there. And Craig, you want to expand on that?
Yeah, I think from there in 92 when he had the scheduling snafu, you got the city leaders involved. There have been four or five tax issues that had gone down to build arenas in Columbus or football stadiums or something. They all had failed. But when the chill came along, suddenly people, the light bulb went off and said, if we want to go major league, hockey's the way to do it. And Columbus is too close to Cincinnati and Cleveland to get a baseball or football, even an NBA team like the Cavaliers. So if Columbus was going to a major league at that time, the early 90s, it was going to be the NHL. And the only way you can get the NHL is to have an arena, which Columbus did not have. So I think you put those two together, the chill success and the need for an arena, and you can see where, like David said, the ball started rolling towards getting a downtown arena, which eventually led to the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yes, and just a couple key points in that to add. That incident happened on September 4th. 6 days later, in the middle of solving it, the mayor stepped forward and said, we are going to form a citizens' commission to begin to re-look at this. And a citizens' commission, what that meant was it was a study to see if we needed another study. So that was like a year before that even got formed and then moved along a little bit. And then the chamber came out with a feasibility study that said, you know, this would work. You know, this downtown arena would work even if we had the chill in it. We didn't have to have a major league team. And we stepped up to support that publicly, along with key people in the city. So that was a big moment. And then from there, then the real study began. And there was a 10-person panel on that that included people from all corners of the city. There were 10 folks on it, and I was one of them, representing professional sports and hockey. So that group was the one that essentially brought it all the way to the ballot, and we promoted the heck out of it. We were very active in that publicly, and now the vote went down, fortunately, more fortunately as it turns out, but it put Columbus really in a spot where it looked like we'd lost our chance, but that didn't happen because we had some folks that stepped up, right, Craig?
Nationwide Arena, or Nationwide Realty, invested a guy named Donnie McPherson and John H. McConnell eventually ended up owning the team. They all said in the June of 1997, we're coming so close to getting this arena built, we're not going to let it drop. And they went to Commissioner Gary Bettman and said, we need a couple more weeks after this failed vote in May of 97. We need 4 or 5 weeks to put a plan together. And he said, okay, you got it. Columbus went ahead and did it. And June 25th, 1997, Columbus is awarded the NHL expansion franchise. So it all came together very quickly.
One of the neat.
And Gary Cohen, our PR person, always described it, this may not be the right thing, but described it as kind of the Columbus's version of the O.J. case, in the sense that it was just conversation day after day after day for about 2 solid years. So that by that point in time, you know, Craig's right. The city leaders said, this is our chance. It's now or never, and we're gonna step up and make this happen. So okay. Mr. McConnell did, Diamond McPherson, the Nationwide did, and all of a sudden, here we are. But, you know, we played a pretty big part in that along the way in knocking down each one of those dominoes, stepping up when asked and needed to, and then and promoting the heck out of it.
And that is part one of my conversation with Craig Merz and David Paintson from the Chill Factor book. We're going to pause for a quick network timeout, but don't go anywhere when we come back. Part two of this interview. You are listening to episode 16. This is the Postgon Pucks Radio Network. Welcome back to episode 16. You're listening to Postgon Pucks Radio. Thanks for looking in. My name is Dennis J. Puska. Special thank you to our friends tuning in everywhere, including CBS Sports Radio 1440 in Amarillo, Texas, as part of Hockey Night in Amarillo, as well as on the Southern Tier Express games of the NA3HL, the Keystone Sports Network, as well as on WWCB Radio in Cory, Pennsylvania, and prior to pregame coverage of the Peoria Rivermen of the Southern Professional Hockey League. For further information, check out past episodes, please go to our website at puskaonpucks.com. And friends, don't forget to check out our sister program, This Week in the IFL, for the latest news and information of America's Premier Indoor Football League. The 2015 season is set to kick off in a couple of weeks, and we'll be there to provide you all recaps and some terrific interviews. That's This Week in the IFL, Season 6, kicking off in a couple of weeks. Again, for further information, it's PuskaMediaServices.com. Well, friends, we're catching up with the co-authors of a book called The Chill Factor, a new book that looks at the Columbus Chill, formerly of the ECHL, a team that helped pave the way for the Columbus Blue Jackets to arrive, Nationwide Arena, and the National Hockey League. Now, part two of my conversation with David Pateson and Craig Mers. When you guys, when you put this book together, gentlemen, what's the most far out promotion that you guys did? Now with the advent of social media, everybody does a lot of different promotions now. But what's one of the most when you guys were putting this book together, going, I remember doing this, and it just kind of made you guys laugh out loud, funny, and some of the stuff that you guys did.
Yeah, there's several. It's hard to pinpoint one, but I'd say one of the things that was really unique and different, we always did a few things around New Year's Eve. We always did a turn back the clock. We turned it back 1 year to the Roman times and put our team's players in Roman numerals, which was great for the radio play-by-play guys. and we brought our head coach, Mo Mantha, out on a chariot, okay, which is one of the highlights of Mo's career, I'll tell you. So that was one, opening nights were always a blast. And then we created one that was called, kind of picking up on the news of the day, called the Hard Copy Olympics. It was born out of the Nancy Kerrigan, Tanya Harding battle on the hard copy, show on television. And just took the series of things that were happening in the news, strung them together, turned that into an on-ice promotion. That involved Joey Buttafuoco, the Menden brothers, and all that tabloid stuff of the day, and just really kind of made fun of it in a relay race type of deal.
Yeah, David being Cindy Dean Moss, probably the best promotion they ever did was the Mad Cow, turning the team into the Mad Cow for one day. And David can explain that a little bit more, but people today still talk about opening night 1997 on Halloween when they renamed for one night the Columbus Chill at the Mad Cow for one day. Cow-like looking uniforms that people wanted to have today.
That's
it played off a little bit of the Cowtown image that people felt they had, and there was a news outlet called The Other Paper that had actually created it, and I liked it, and we were trying to figure out a way to sell out the first game, and was it always sold out opening night, but we just announced the NHL team, but the team didn't have a name yet, so we kind of used the leverage of anticipation of that name and threw a little curveball at the media, so they thought the NHL teenagers could be the Chill. And because we put out a one line release and said we bring out for the name change on Thursday, so people kind of sit on that, but all we were doing was having a costume change because it was Halloween and we were going to be the Mad Cows for one day. And it ended up being a pretty good part of Columbus football already at this point. It was a lot of fun to.
So, guys, how is the book being received so far now that it's out and it's being snatched up?
Seems like good. I mean, Craig, we've got, we'll probably talk a little bit about some of the outlets that we have that, kind of fan interaction and the feedback we're getting there.
Yeah, the Columbus Blue Jackets are selling the book at their games and having great success with it. We've got a website, columbuschill.net, where you can buy the book now. It's officially released on March 3rd through Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all those outlets, but you can buy it now on columbuschill.net. So we've got some great response from people so far. The local TV and radio and all the outlets here have really given us a great opportunity to tell what's going on with the book and explain Columbus hockey history. So we're really pleased with it, and hopefully this weekend with the hockey world in Columbus, we can expand on that a little bit more. We're glad you had us on as well.
Well, that sounds terrific. So give us a sense, how long did it take from inception down to getting it all done with the final edit? How long did it take you guys to put this book together?
Well, longer than it took to get the NHL here.
Does it make you guys?
It really was. I mean, it is a process, but you know, we love the story, and I think it's a really unique one, and unique one in sports where minor league team had as much of a hand in being part of promoting and driving a change like this in the city.
My final question to you guys is this: bottom line, what do you hope people get the most out of this book when they pick it up and read it and get to understand it?
First of all, knowing the story, I think even people that were fans are going to be picking it up and finding out a lot about the franchise from the behind the scenes standpoint that they have. And I think we've got a Bill Veeck type story here, a Veeck is in Wreck sort of book. That's one thing. I think too that the team was unique in its style and marketing and true to itself from day one to the final last call. That never really wavered from being who we were.
And, I think one thing that I really enjoy is we also have a Facebook page called the Kill Memories page. And with the book and the Facebook page, people just go back and say, I hear all the time, I was 5 years old. My first hockey game, I went with my parents back to see it and chill. I think just bringing out the memories and a good time for those people, it really pleases me that we can give people these great memories of what it was like for the chill back in the 90s and maybe the first hockey experience. And maybe we got them on the road to being a hockey fan. So me covering it through the Columbus Dispatch when I was covering the chill back then, and David with the marketing that they did with the chill. The fact that these young people today have grown up to become hockey fans because of the show is really great.
Wonderful, guys. It's been an honor to have you guys on our program and talk about this terrific book. We hope you guys have wonderful success with it, and it sells like crazy, and we appreciate you guys joining us here on Puss Gone Pucks Radio.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
And we appreciate David Pateson and Craig Merz joining us here on our program to talk all about their book. A reminder, their book will be released on hardcover on March 3rd, 2015. You can go to Amazon.com or where great books are sold to get further information and to buy this book. It's also available on Kindle as well, where you can download it and read the book there as well. Chill Factor, another great hockey book out. And we'll do our best to bring you all the great authors of these books coming up throughout what we do here on Puss Gone Pucks Radio. Friends, that's going to do it for this week's edition of our program. More great episodes coming up in the weeks ahead. Hope you can stay with us. For David Pateson, Craig Merz, and all of us here, I'm Dennis J. Puska. Be good, stay to trouble. I'll try to do the same. We'll talk to you next time with an all-new episode of Puss Gone Pucks Radio. Good night, Dick. Talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Thanks for tuning in to Puska on Pucks Radio, your inside look at the game of hockey. Tonight's show was written and produced by Dennis J. Puska and Puska Media Services. All rights reserved. Didn't get a chance to hear all of this show or want to listen to past ones? Make sure you visit PuskaMediaServices.com to listen to past shows, read a blog from the host, or find out what's coming on future episodes. Puska on Pucks Radio is a Puska Media Services production in cooperation with Cumulus Media.